How's everyone this morning? Somebody smile. You see some smiles out there today. Glory to God. We're going to go to 2 Peter this morning, if you want to go ahead and turn there. 2 Peter, we're going to go to chapter 3. Why don't we stand together, if we could, read God's word together. Before we read, anybody got a praise or a thanks that they want to give God this morning? Just share it real quick. Somebody?
That nobody was hurt in the last couple of days with the riots.
Amen to that. Anybody else? Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah, I think we skipped spring completely.
Answered prayer.
Answered prayer, indeed. Anybody else? We need to hear that. Right now, sometimes it doesn't feel like that, but God says he takes all things together for good and works them together for good. Anybody else? Yeah, amen. Well, if you got your word, everybody got it there? Or are you still looking? All right. I don't hear any pages going. Okay. 2 Peter chapter 3, I'm going to read this. Typically, my tradition is to read out of the King James, but this morning I've got the Amplified beside that. I'm going to read this chapter out of the Amplified because I think it brings the meaning out a little bit stronger in where I'm headed this morning. So we're going to start in verse 1. Keep in mind, this is the last writing that we have of Peter, and it's a little bit later in the life of the apostles at this point. And he says, "Beloved, I am now writing you this second letter. In both of them, I have stirred up your unsullied, sincere mind by way of remembrance, that you should recall the predictions of the holy, consecrated, dedicated prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior given through your apostles, his special messengers. To begin with, you must know and understand this, that scoffers, mockers will come in the last days with scoffing. People who walk after their own fleshly desires and say, 'Where's the promise of his coming?' For since the forefathers fell asleep, all things have continued exactly as they did from the beginning of creation. For they willfully overlook and forget this fact, that the heavens came into existence long ago by the word of God, and the earth also, which was formed out of water and by means of water, through which the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But the same word, the present heavens and earth, have been stored up, reserved for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly people. But beloved, nevertheless, do not let this one fact escape you, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord does not delay and is not tardy or slow about what he promises, according to some people's conception of slowness. But he is long-suffering, extraordinarily patient towards you, not desiring that any should perish, but that all should turn to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will vanish, pass away with a thunderous crash, and the material elements of the universe will dissolve with fire, and the earth and the works that are upon it will be burned up. Since all these things are thus in the process of being dissolved, what kind of person ought each of you to be in the meanwhile? In consecrated and holy behavior, devout and godly qualities, while you wait earnestly and earnestly long for, expect, and hasten the coming of the day of God, by reason of which the flaming heavens will be dissolved and material elements of the universe will flare and melt with fire. But we look for new heavens, new earth, according to his promise, in which righteousness, uprightness, freedom from sin, and right standing with God to abide. So, beloved, since you are expecting these things, be eager to be found in him at his coming, without spot or blemish, and at peace, in serene confidence, free from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord, his slowness in avenging wrongs and judging the world, is salvation, that which is conducive to the soul's safety, even as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the spiritual insight given him. Speaking of this, as he does in all of his letters, there are some things in those epistles of Paul that are difficult to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist and misconstrue to utter their own destruction, just as they distort and misinterpret the rest of the scriptures. Let me warn you, therefore, brethren, or beloved, that knowing these things beforehand, you should be on your guard, lest you be carried away by error of lawless and wicked persons and fall from your own present firm condition, your own steadfastness of mind, but grow in grace, undeserved favor, spiritual strength, and recognition and knowledge and understanding of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Messiah. To him be glory, honor, majesty, and splendor, both now and in the day of eternity. Amen. So be it. So, Father, we ask you now that you speak as only you can. And, Father, just make it clear. Let us walk out of here with a word, Father, that will change, confirm, challenge, comfort. So, Father, we ask these things together in Jesus' name. All God's people said. Amen. While you're sitting down, go to the book of Ecclesiastes for a second. Just kind of hold chapter 1 for a second. The sermon this morning is really kind of a hodgepodge. And it's really just, as soon as Mike asked, I prayed, God answered. It's kind of how it goes, because I was wondering, what am I going to say? What am I going to share in the times that we're living? And the things that we are faced with, things that we're confronting, all the changes and things that we're having to deal with. So I thought we would... It was one of those things that we spoke to my heart. Let's go back and remind ourselves of a few things. Paul was writing in this book, the last few paragraphs of his letter that he wrote. He wrote in such a way, he says, I'm just reminding you of some things. I want you to remember a few things and keep in mind a couple things. And that's where we're going to go today. I thought today it would be mindful for us to go back and familiarize, even though these are scriptures that we know, but I think it's a good thing to go back. And I do this with myself. I figured to get together we will do this. Because as we look at these uncertain times, these things that we're having to deal with, and all these changes, and wondering about what's going on, and how these things are going to change from here on out. Okay, what do we look at, and what do we cling to? I don't know about you, but I go to the Word of God, period. I don't go to CNN, and I don't go to all the news channels. I don't go to them. You know, I don't go to people. I don't go to my opinions. I don't go to anything. I don't go to the newspapers. I go to my knees, and I go to that right there. I've spent too long in this life with things flying all over the place. And I know the only thing that anchors my soul and my heart, no matter what, is that right there. So that's what I go to, and that's where I'm going to stand as long as God gives me grace to stand in this day. Now, the scripture we're going to read this morning, I'm going to remind all of us that this scripture we're reading here was written nearly 3,000 years ago. It was written by Solomon. That's how long ago this was written. I mean, 1,000 years, okay? And listen to what he says in Ecclesiastes. We're going to go in chapter 1. Let's start verse 9. Again, I'm going to hit the amplified on this one too. In verse 9, he says, the thing that has been is what will be again. And that which has been done is that which will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been. In the vast ages of time, recorded or unrecorded, which were before us, there is no remembrance of former happenings or men, neither will there be any remembrance of happenings of generations that are to come by those who are to come after them. Wow. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. I think it's a good thing to start right there. That when we're looking and dealing with this and all the things that are being said about this pandemic and everything else about the COVID virus, and everybody wants to act like it's something new or something different, it is nothing new. We are not facing anything today that is any different that has ever went on the face of this earth since the fall in the garden. There has been famines and there has been plagues and there has been massive deaths across this globe because of those things. And so what we're facing is nothing new. It doesn't matter how anybody puts it out there. According to God's word, this has already been. It just happens to be in the time that you and I are living. It happens to be in the sense of where we are experiencing something. But even in our recent history, even in the age that I am right now, I can remember in grade school having to deal with polio that was endemic, and so can many here remember that. It was endemic in our country. And I can remember, you know, the vaccinations and all those kind of things that we had to have in the school. Actually, the nurses came to our school. They tested us for TB, and they tested us for polio. How many remember those days? Yeah. How many of you knew kids that ended up with it? I got a friend of mine that in his grade school, when he went to grade school, he said there was about 50 of those kids that he went to school with that were dead within a year. And so these things were around. You had cholera. I've traveled on three different continents, you know, being able to share God's word with people. And I've always been in endemic areas. I had to get a booster for polio because I was close to Uganda. You know, because they thought I should get a booster shot, you know, for that, just because I was there. But there's things you don't get a shot for. There's things that they tell you, don't go in the water. You couldn't pay me enough to get in the water in Africa. It's not that I'm fearful, it's just, why don't we be a little wise? Because there's things like Rift Valley fever and all kinds of things that mosquitoes carry that there is no vaccinations for. I mean, those things are out there, cholera, and all those things are out there. But yet, I never even gave it a second thought about going into an area that was endemic with whatever. Why? Well, it's called trust God. Use your common sense and trust God. There's nothing new we're dealing with. The gospel was just as difficult to preach back in that day as it is today. It's always been under fire. There's nothing new going on today that hasn't been. The only thing that's different today, the devil is the same as he's always been. Satan's agenda has always been what it is. The spirit of Antichrist, Paul tells us, is already at work. He said that over 2,000 years ago. Satan is committed to his kingdom. He's committed to bringing it to pass. He is going to be committed, and he does not take a day off, and he is relentless, and he is committed. And it will always be like that. I don't know why we get upset about the devil being the devil. The scripture says plenty about who he is. We shouldn't be like, oh my gosh. He is who he is. He's always going to be relentless in what he does. And so when we're living in this time, be careful and root yourself in the fact that we're dealing with nothing new. Period. In our recent history in our country, we had the Spanish flu. They call it the Spanish flu, but it was actually the avian flu that hit. And I don't think we have anybody, we might have somebody close to that in here in this age, but that was back in the 1930s. It was basically transmitted because we were at war. The world was at war. Does anybody remember the numbers that the Spanish flu took out across the world? It was over 50 million people died of the avian flu. And that's not been that long ago. Now, I'll leave it to you to wrestle with the things about what's been shut down and what's not been shut down and all the opinions that we might have about, you know, shutting down. But there are at least noticeable a lot of firsts that have happened in this country. I think we would all agree on that. Number one, it's the first time in the country we've ever quarantined the healthy. We've never quarantined the healthy. This is the first time. So we've never done that before. We've never shut down an economy. We may have shut down schools, you know, because you don't want to spread. I can understand those things, but we've never locked an entire economy down over it and threw us into the situation we're in now with it. What now? I think the numbers are close to 40 million unemployed, something like that. A raging economy, and then just, you know, slam the brakes on. So that's never been done before in the history of our country. Those are firsts that we all have to sit back and ponder a little bit. Those are things we have to consider. This is where Peter says, take note of what kind of person you're going to be. What kind of person will we be in this situation? How are we going to act? Are we going to act recklessly? Are we going to act arrogantly? Are we going to, you know, how are we going to move and how are we going to breathe? Nothing new under the sun. That's important. And he says, remember. How many of you know the reason why the Holocaust Museum was put into play by Israel? Does anybody remember what the driving force of Israel to bring across the Holocaust Museum? What was the one? As a matter of fact, I even think it's written there when you go.
Remember.
Remember what?
The Holocaust happened.
Yeah, and why would they say that? Because it's also written there. Why would they say remember?
But it won't happen again.
Because we have a tendency to do what?
Repeat.
Exactly. They knew that it was going to come around again. They knew that the Nazis and the fascist beliefs was not eradicated. They knew that it was capable of happening again and said, put you in remembrance so that we don't forget and so that hopefully it doesn't happen again. And, you know, let's face it, how many times in the Word of God does it say what? Remember. Lest ye forget. All the memorials, put the stones up, do the things that you do. All those things, a memorial's there, do this in remembrance. Remember this event. When they walked into that promised land and got into houses and got into all kinds of things that they didn't build, God says, remember that this was given to you. You didn't earn it. Remember. Because if we don't remember, then it's, you know, we're only less than a generation away from forgetting everything. There's some things that should concern us, rightfully so. Why do alcohol places stay open and liquor stores stay open and all those kind of places stay open, but they shut church down? It should show some concern that the Supreme Court just recently ruled that they could tell you when you can worship and when you couldn't. That just happened here a couple of days ago. That we couldn't gather together, which is a joke in itself. We can gather together a whole lot more ways than they realize. But still, Just look at the things that were considered essential, and yet worship and gathering together, that was nailed pretty quick. On and on it goes, things like that that we should kind of at least ponder, go what's going on. I'll get into another thing to me that stands out more than anything, but Ecclesiastes, the first thing it says, nothing new, so don't be surprised. I'm going to move on. I could stay there. But we'll go to Philippians 1. Flip with that, me back to that one. Philippians chapter 1. Paul writes this. Verses 21 and 20 through 24. Paul writes this. He says, for me to live is Christ, and to what? And to die is gain. This is not metamorphical. I'm metaphors. This is not that. He's not being figurative here. He's being literal. He says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I know not. For I'm in a strait between two. I'm torn between two. Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Wow. To die is what? Gain. I'll try to not run a rabbit real hard here. Okay. Things that mark this out, first of all, for me, in this whole event, it smells of Satan. And I'll tell you why when I get to the third verse. But also the arrogance of men. To have the audacity to think that you can control death is ludicrous. Does that mean we don't go for vaccines? Does that mean you don't do that? No. But to think that for one second you think you can stop dying, it's not ever going to happen. Why? Because that's all the way back to the garden. If you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. That death is going to come. It's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. Death comes to all of us, believers and unbelievers alike. We all die. It's the only thing that we have in common with the entire world, no matter how much money somebody has, no matter what their status may be, no matter what their race may be, no matter what their creeds may be. It doesn't matter who anybody is. We all die. The one thing we hold in common with everybody. It's why I don't argue with people. I refuse to get in foolish arguments with people anymore about things. Can I argue? Yes, I can. Can I cite all kinds of different things? Yes, I can. But I really avoid it anymore when it comes to the salvation, because there's one thing that we hold in common with everybody on the face of this earth is that we all die, and the greatest test of your belief today, are you ready and willing to die with it? Because one day you will. You can't stop it. You will. We all have an appointment, and you never know when. You never know when it will happen. All God says is number your days. In other words, live in a discretionary manner. Count your days, number your days, because you don't know. Because one day that number's coming up, and you're going home no matter what, whether you believe in Him or not. It will come. Sometimes it comes. And listen, all you got to do is walk through a cemetery. You think everybody's old in there? Walk through a cemetery one time and be astounded at how young people die. Astonished, actually. As you just go through and start looking at the ages, going, my goodness. You will find more young people dead in a cemetery than you will old. I'll lay odds on it. It'll shock you. We all die. We don't like to think about it. I don't know why. Why? Because to me, when Paul wrote, says, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Why do we walk like that? Now, don't get me wrong. Do I want to die today? No. I really don't. Do I long to go home like he said there? You better believe it. Sometimes more now than ever. Because I don't know how you feel about today, but the stuff I'm seeing out there grieves my heart in ways that I can't explain anymore. I find myself in tears grieving over some of the silliness that's going on out there today than I have ever done in my life by myself. What people can do to people, the arrogancy of men, the nothing new under the sun. You know, if you read through Scripture, you will find where anybody in power had what? Quote, unquote, advisors. And what were they called back in the biblical days? They were called prophets. Why? Because they predict. Well, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. And they would always consult their prophets before they went into battles or major conquests or whatever else they do. Do we have advisors trying to predict today? Do we have them in government today? Do we see them on the news today? Well, according to the model. Well, according to this, and they're no different than trying to predict the future, only now it's science. And boy, science, and listen, I got a huge major in science. I love science. But I don't remove God from science like they do. The more I love and enter science, the more I see God. I don't go into science denying God. I think science reveals him. But to think for one minute, to think you can predict how many people are going to die, how many people are going to do this, and what's going to happen with this, and all that kind of stuff, and then we make decisions on that we're dealing with today because of that? That's nothing more than a prophet, guys. Nothing more. Death and life are in the power of God himself. And sometimes God just has a way. You got a 100-some-year-old woman that lived through the coronavirus. Her first response was, you know, what she wanted when she woke up or when that came through it all. She wanted a Bud Light. There she is in a hospital bed drinking a Bud Light. I'm like, give the woman a beer. that's what she wanted. But anyways, 100. Now, there's one that blew the odds out, didn't she? You just never know. Well, what would you do if somebody died? You just don't know anybody that had COVID. Listen, I was around COVID before it hit the news. There's no doubt in my mind I had a handful of guys that I worked with exposed to it like crazy that had COVID. Their symptoms were all over the place. How many people have already had COVID and we never even know about it? Why? They weren't testing, guys. They weren't testing for it. We had guys at work that were sick. All the symptoms. One lost a sense of smell, couldn't taste food and all that. That's all the symptoms of COVID. We were around them all, in and out of trucks, you know, driving behind them. Okay. Well, how do you feel about that? Because people think I'd be heartless and things like that. No, what are you going to do if your mom died? I haven't been able to see my mom since this thing started. What would you do if your mom died? You know what I'd do? I'd celebrate that, number one, she's with Jesus Christ to begin with. And number two, I would mourn her loss to me here, and I would celebrate the reunion I'll have with her there, and I would honor her memory. And I would go on, just like I would do for anybody else. Is it tragic people die? Yes, it is. But people die every day. If you ever look at how many people die a day in the world, it's a lot. So that's where perspective comes into play. To die is gain. For me to die, that's why, where's the sting of death and where's the victory of the grave? Because for me to die, I'm right in the presence of God. I'm home. This place is not my home. Does anybody ever feel like that? Guess what? We're not supposed to belong here. We have children here. We have those things that we love and care for, and we're supposed to do that. But we're pilgrims. We need to be reminded. I need to remind myself of that. Last one's this, 2 Timothy 1. I can quote this one. I don't need to turn. So 2 Timothy 1:7. I've always asked people sometimes, if you had, let's say you had a week to live, and you knew that you had an appointment with death, only it wasn't going to be by natural means. Your head was going to be removed. Let's say you knew that you were going to die. What would you say? Who would you say it to? What would you write? You knew you were leaving the place. What would be the things that you'd say? We really should think like that anyways, because you may not know, you know, tomorrow. So that's why I don't leave things unsaid. Paul wrote this to Timothy. This was a private letter. You know, we read it now today. This was not one of them letters that was to be read to the churches or any of that kind of stuff. This was written to Timothy, who he'd ministered with. And all he said was this. He told him not to be timid. This is opening. He says, as you move on in ministry, because Paul knew that he was not going to probably live out of this one. He knew that he was probably going to die. And he said, and he told him about the gift in him. And he said, don't be afraid. And then he said this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound, disciplined, sound mind. I've always said it, and then we continue to say it, fear in the Bible is always referred to as a spirit. Now that means that fear is something that is outside of us, but it wants a place in us. Fear's always been that way. There's one thing I've had to deal with ever since I've been in ministry with people. If you were to ask me what is my one overarching issue that I've always had to deal with people, and I've had to deal with a lot of addiction and abuse of any kind imaginable. So I've got over 30 years with working with people with addictions and horrible abuse. Physical, sexual, mental, emotional, you name it. I have dealt with people coming out of the occult, warlocks and witches. If there's one overarching thing that I've had to deal with from ministry on, is the issue of fear. People in fear. Now, we've got a lot of buzzwords for it, anxiety, panic, and all that kind of stuff. When I preached on the spirit of fear, I had 26 words that people held up in signs all over the sanctuary, every one of them that had their roots in fear. The very first words out of Adam's mouth to God after he had ate of the tree that he wasn't supposed to, said, I heard your voice, which means I understood you. I heard you, but I also understood you. But I was afraid. That's been here for a very long time. A spirit of fear. Fear can wear a lot of different dresses. But has anybody noticed fear in this deal? Okay. It's been pretty obvious, hasn't it? I mean, for those you got eyes to see, man, it's been all over. And on top of it, when you watch news, have you noticed the language that's used to amp it? I saw one the other day, you know, it's like, this is the worst public health disaster in the last 100 years of our country. I said, dude, you're lying. Number one, define for me public health disaster. But the thing is you can't put them on the stand and grill them. They just say it and go on. And when's the last time you saw this kind of coverage 24/7, the whole entire newscast dedicated to it? Gee, I wonder what's up with that. Hammering home. A spirit of fear. That's the thing for me that stands out above all this. That when there's two things, when fear and confusion come into play, that God says very clearly he is not the author of it. He says, I'm not the author of confusion, and you can be rest assured that God doesn't move like that with fear. Now, everybody that saw angels and all that stuff, yeah, they feared, but what was the first things that came out of the angel's mouth when that happened? Fear not. So what do you do when that happens? I'll show you exactly what I do. This is what I do. Because God's not called me to react to it. He's not called me to do any of that kind of stuff. I sit and I watch and I shut my mouth. And I just listen. Because I know that, number one, I don't need to be making a decision in confusion. Has anybody ever made decisions in confusion? How's that worked out for you? Exactly. How many of you have made decisions in fear before? I think we all have. How'd that work for you? Exactly. So my experience has been this. not to make a decision in that. And so I sit. And I watch. And I don't follow a crowd. No. I just don't. I'm not into the herd. Call me a rebel if you want. That's fine. But I don't follow the herd. I don't follow everything that the government says because the government ain't God. Last time I saw in our country, we elected a president to run this country, not the CDC or not the WHO. We have a Congress and we have a Senate. Those are things that I notice. But one thing on the spiritual side, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. Therefore, don't react, act. We need reminded of these things in these days we face. You know, how shall we live and what manner of person shall we really be? So that now you know why Joshua stood up one day knowing they still had idols in their house and all those kind of things. He says, I know y'all got that stuff in your house. But he says, listen, as far as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. You say, well, then how should we move? Well, I tell you what. I look at the people that lived back then. If there's some things I notice about them is they were fierce people. And they were fierce in grace. They were fierce in love. And they were fierce in faith. They were fierce people like that. You're talking about people when they said, bow. No, we're not. They went to the lions and they went to all kinds of horrible deaths, but they said, no, I don't think so. That's fierce. Well, we're going to kill you anyways. Well, make sure you crucify me upside down. That was Peter. I don't want to be hung like my Lord was. Thomas was skinned alive in India. And they were some fierce people, man. They were fierce with grace. That means they didn't get bitter and hateful. They were fierce with love. They threw a guy off a boat in Fox's Book of Martyrs. They threw this pastor off a boat back in the Roman days with a millstone cast about his neck. Threw him out in the boat and think he's going to drown because they were meeting in church. They got caught having worship in the catacombs. Pitched him over the boat, millstone around his neck. He floated for 45 minutes and preached the grace of God to those on the boat while they're looking at him like, why this guy sinking? He preached the love of God, and then after he got done for 45 minutes, he preached. And when he finished, he said, God, into thy hands I commit my spirit, my life, and he sank like that. Now, them's some fierce people. I hope I'm found there myself. These are just reminders for the days we live in, because we're not done living in them. I remind myself of these things. I hope it's helped you this morning. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Give God some glory. Now, hopefully, also thankful for those that are online that will be listening. Hope it blesses them too. Amen. That it speaks to their lives as well. I know that they would love to be here because they shot plenty of texts so, saying, praying for you. I appreciate that very much. So let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time that we have together in your word. Father, as we've come, gathered here together, and Lord, I just pray for everyone that's come. I pray that they would be encouraged in Christ. I pray that, Father, that they would be encouraged in the things that they're facing. I pray, Father, that they would walk with a joy, knowing that you have this. We thank you that you are keeping us in this time. And Father, our prayer really this morning above all things is please heal our country. Our country needs healed by a healing that only you can bring. And so, Father, I pray that you would bring that healing to our country. It desperately needs it. Our government, our people, we need your presence in this place again. If left to ourselves, Father, we are an utter mess. So I pray, Father, that you'd bring a healing to this country. And we stand in your word that, Father, you're able to do those things, exceeding and abundantly above all we can ask or think. I thank you, Father, for this time we've had together. We give you praise and thank you for it. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Shout at somebody you love them on the way out the door. Amen.